Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Thank you, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. It is a glorious day. I hear it's been heating up in many parts around the world, including paradise. I have a very special guest, but before we get into our program, I have a special announcement for those who will be in the Ventura County area. I will be doing during this month, I have two special events actually occurring. One is I'll be speaking about Kabbalah. What is it? You may have heard it, but what is it really? I'll be discussing and explaining the very essence of Kabbalah within its esoteric understandings and spiritual concepts in relation to the universe and the soul. It's going to happen Saturday, August 18th. That's 2 p.m. at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery, Ohio. Their phone number is 805-640-8222. You'll see it also on my site there if you close it. And on the following weekend, they have invited me to be one of their readers at their Psychic Fair engagement on August 24th. 2012, of course, that's a Saturday, and I'll be there from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Again, that's Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery, Ohio, California, 93023. And their phone number for information, 805-640-8222. Now, I have a very, very special guest. I had this book about a month ago. It was quite, you know how everything has perfect timing. I was very curious about information. A lot of people keep insistently asking about the changes in our universe, in particular our alignments, they're increasing in frequency, what's happening on Earth, and how it's in relation to ourselves. And I was saying, this comes into my hand. And it's called The Book of Transformation, and I've read it. I went through it several times in depthly. It was written by a very well-known author, and I'm pleased to have. Her name is Lisa Beretta. How are you doing, Lisa?
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for coming on. First, before we get into the aspects within your book, I want to so my guests know who you are. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, you might say I guess I was born into being psychic. My family was always very in touch with their extrasensory senses. So I grew up in an environment where even though I went all through Catholic grade school and high school, I still had a home environment where, you know, you were encouraged to go with your gut feelings or if you sensed something that was a little bit outside of the box. So it's just ingrained in me. And I also feel that I've had prior incarnations, which I pulled a lot of knowledge in, because from the time I was 13 years old, I just was reading tarot cards, doing astrology charts, and looking at crystals. Anything metaphysical that I could possibly do, I was doing. So as my career developed and my client base grew, I started to pay attention to the different changes within my clients. You know, like all of a sudden, starting, I would say, in the mid-90s, I see this big influx of, you know, they're starting to think differently, things are affecting them differently, and I had one of those aha moments, like something is going on. And from my prior readings of like Edgar Cayce and just Zachariah Sitchin and Eric Von Daniken, I realized that, you know, we really aren't alone in the universe. There are things that happen up in the cosmos that we don't read about in the paper, so I decided to research it a little further, and it became my quest to really start to dig and research, ask questions, and finally come upon writing the book, The Book of Transformation, which is my second book. The first book is Street Smart Psychic, but this book here I feel is very pertinent because it deals with what we all seem to be going through right now. Everybody's wondering, like, what's going on? I feel different. Things seem different. And we're starting to, I think, question our relationship with reality itself.
Yeah, that's, and I'm going to get into that. I've noticed that myself because I also do readings, but also when I meet people and do speaking engagements. And I also think that you can see sort of a parallel in dynamics with within around the world, especially politically. People are even questioning or trying to find, and I think it's been going into an extreme levels, which we'll get into. But I want to ask you, why, and so people understand, then this is from you, because I can say mine, otherwise I wouldn't have the show. why and how do you feel there is a changing of energy?
Okay, I think the first time I really noticed it was in my own personal life, where, you know, nice existence, but I don't know why. I personally started to feel caged in, like I could actually feel myself holding more frequency or more light. I needed to do something else. I didn't feel I was really being my authentic self. I had to be more in touch with all of my extrasensory senses, which I found were becoming more acutely attuned. The reason is because we're moving through a band of energy within the cosmos, but a lot of people aren't aware of that. So, and I even noticed with friends and people I deal with, clients or just, you know, regular acquaintances, everybody seems to be sensing things different. They're becoming frustrated with limited jobs, frustrated with relationships that don't serve them any growth, which you could say, well, that could happen at any time during any century, but this is more so. This is different because everyone seems to have an actual awareness now that things seem different. We don't buy into these false beliefs anymore that our government's going to take care of us, our religions are going to promise us a heaven. We're starting to realize, like, no, we're moving away from materialism and dogma, both religious and science, and we're starting to really tap into, like, our true, like, energy essence, which has been called the spirit, the soul, whatever you want to call it. It's our consciousness that survives even beyond physical death. And a lot of people have this awareness now. They just sense things different. Like you said earlier, this uproar in the Middle East or people that are, like, protesting things in our own country, we just don't want these false structures anymore. We see through it. Our perception is enhanced enough to see that this is a lie, and we sense that we're actually being tricked into believing the illusion of something that's not there.
Well, do you think because this is how I look at it is in the alignment of change within our planet, especially our Earth, way the alignments are happening, that it's actually, and this is actually this, by the way, anybody who wants to do research, this is actually a physics fact that, you know, they have like a measurement of energy of the Earth, basically, and they're showing how it's actually have been increasing its frequency. And if it's increasing its frequency, think about how it's going to be affecting both our spiritual side and our physical side and all dynamics. This is what I was thinking about, how a lot of the energy is changing around the world. A lot of it's everything has a perfect timing, but it's also the changing in dynamics. This is why I think that a lot of happening. I mean, there's prophecies that are coming to truth. They're converging, I think, from the Hopi to Ezekiel to, Far East, as far as the I Ching and Taoism understandings. A lot of things are starting to converge upon each other, basically coming to say the same thing, that we're at certain times, that we're not looking for that. People are looking always at for the savior mentality or somebody to take care of them or save them in some way. And people are now coming maybe the truths because the universe is sort of forcing them to do so because their energy changed. But then you have the other side is people are grabbing onto, don't want to let go. So they go into the extreme. And that's like, for example, in the Middle East, you mentioned the Middle East, the epitome of everything that's wrong in our humanity. You can just look at the Middle East.
You're right.
Yeah. So, and it seems like they're going through a major change themselves, trying to find it. That's why there's a massive extremism going one way or the other way. So let me ask you this, how, because in your book, it goes into detail I mean, which I thought were really fascinating that nobody really gets talks about. I've never read anybody in a book, but I've heard people sort of skim over talking about, but nobody really gets into how it is affecting us physically and our DNA. And you go really like almost half your book into that.
Oh yeah. You know, I've been questioned a lot on that. Like, well, how do you know? Or how do you know? It's like, you know, science deals with the physical world. And people like us who deal with the energy world, we know that it's beyond the physical, you know, science gives you a formula. I know myself, I've felt these feelings, and I've talked to other people that tell me, hey, I'm waking up at a certain time every night. And you don't hear it from one person. You hear it from 10 different people all waking up at the same time. So I researched, and it's like, yes, our bodies have a certain built-in circadian rhythm, and each organ in our body has a frequency, which is also changing as our frequency changes, causing us to process different emotions. Like the liver is where we hold and process our anger. So if you're waking up at the hour of the liver, you're starting to detach and let go of these fears and emotions that you need to clear out so you can ascend. And to make people understand, I tell them, imagine your computer. It's going to run a lot faster when you dump out all the junk, you reboot it, and you clean it up. It's going to run at a faster speed. In essence, our own electromagnetic field is going through a rebooting of sorts, because what's happening as Earth is passing onto the other side of this galactic plane, it causes a field effect or an energy reversal, which basically means that we now resonate with the source of that field. So basically, you know, we're starting to resonate with a higher frequency, and some people aren't aware. They just know, like, things are different. The kids are different. When I was in school, we didn't have kids that were ADD. But now they're calling them, you know, ADD, autistic, or whatever. These are really, in the book, I call them homo sentience, the upgrade of the homo sapien, because they're more energy sensing. And, you know, the physical things that they go through, like I mentioned in the book, they have food sensitivities. They're more sensitive to energy. They can walk in a room and just, like, feel what's there. And because they're eating the wrong food, this food has vibration too, it's causing some physical problems. And getting back to us, like you said, how, and even us, that if we're not really, you know, like an indigo or a crystal child, physically we're still feeling the effects, because our body, our DNA is starting to hold more light, and it's affecting the whole frequency of the body. So, you know, we may have a weird pain. Our chakras could be opening up to pull in this energy. A lot of people are getting headaches, especially as their crown chakra starts to open and develop. It's so interesting. I think this is going to open up a whole new branch of medicine, because we need to realize that anything that happens in the vibrational body is eventually going to be translated down into the physical body. So we got to catch it in that vibrational level before it does affect us physically.
So, but you mentioned in your book about how it affecting our DNA in particular, like you mentioned about the additional strands are affecting, because DNA actually is a communication device. It's not necessarily a map, but it's affected by our thoughts and energy around systems that's now determined. But so how is this affecting our DNA? Because you mentioned we're going to have more strands of DNA. I didn't understand that.
Okay. The way it was explained to me was, I'd say maybe about 7 years ago, I was talking to a woman who does DNA activation, and I found that very interesting. And what she said, like you said, our DNA actually, you know, responds to frequency, and they've done some studies that show that, you know, you can basically reprogram yourself just through frequency. So what it is, the higher we go in consciousness, there's what they used to call our junk DNA. The Russians did some experiments, and they found that there is a portion of our DNA, which I guess you could say are just, imagine them as extra wires that are not yet plugged in yet, or apps for your phone that you have not yet activated, that will code to frequency and light instead of just the two strands that code to the protein, which means as we start to hold more light and we start to shift and change, because we are changing. You know, this is the next phase of our evolution. Our DNA is also upgrading too. You know, our technology changes for every 6 months. You get a cell phone and it's obsolete because something better came out. Can you imagine what's going on with us, our DNA? And I really feel that, you know, certain areas of the medical profession are aware that we're changing, but, you know, they don't want to put that word out there because it's going to kill the pharmaceutical companies that like to keep us sick. You know, some of this medication that you take, the side effects are more devastating than what you're actually being treated for. And that's like also in my book, I really promote more integrated medicine where treat the vibrational body, not just the physical body, if you really, really want to get better.
Well, it's funny you said that because it's interesting that how when they do determination or the diagnosis, they use energy, like the little x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, ultrasounds. They try to figure out the problem using energy, which is using their getting to quantum physics of the understanding of energy systems and patterns in the body. And then they'll go back to using illogical Newtonian physics, like where a car, or like a car, like change the parts, add a bunch of junk down it, and looking in that aspect as the body as opposed to what we are as energy. So it's so interesting that you point that out. Also in your book, you point that out. It's funny because I had a recent incident where, not an incident, but I went to see and they said they offered me free flu shots. And I go, flu shots? I said, I wouldn't put that crap even, I wouldn't even pay for it. You're doing it for free.
And exactly.
They,
yeah.
And they looked at me cockeyed. I don't want to do odor stuff, but I told them, listen, I could take Obsidian, which is actually better. I've taken it forever, 20 years. I almost never, never get the flu. I mean, I'd be like amongst everybody, two-legged Petri dishes with the flu around me where I do, especially I work in the industry. And, you know, and you cannot get sick because there's no vacation if you're on sick or whatever.
Right.
So then, you know, you're stuck. So, but I was just in shock. And this lady, like, well, everybody has their view of that, of flu shots. And I said to her, listen, there's a view and there's a point of getting understanding to facts. I said, once you do, go ahead, do the research and you'll find come to the same conclusion as me. But it's amazing. I think our medicine is like, basically almost 30 to 40 years behind even sciences of today.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, the more we move into the quantum way of existing, because we're gone from just this three-dimensional limited little box that we've been kept in to being able to access, you know, a higher dimension, the fourth, the fifth dimension. The fourth we go into when we dream. The fifth is actually where we can really use full potential. Our full potential is realized there because we can work with our spiritual body and our physical body. And the spiritual body, I mean, we all have extrasensory sensing abilities. You know, that gut feeling that a lot of people just blow off as, oh, well, that was, you know, just a coincidence. No, it's not. You pay attention to that. And you need to really take care of that electromagnetic field around yourself, you know, and believe me, physical medicine isn't what it needs. It needs energy medicine. So that's how come I'm a big promoter of integrated medicine and Reiki. I love Reiki. I really feel that we can work with the vibration of aromatherapy, crystals. And actually, if you think about it, this isn't anything brand new or fringe. During my research, I found that, you know, way back to the time of Atlantis, and yes, there was an Atlantis. That wasn't just some fictional place. They actually used these, you know, vibrational methods of healing to the point where they could even regenerate a limb if it came off.
Well, it's not only them. I mean, that's actually been it was used for over 7,000 years in China, and they've been using, that's what acupuncture is, from the looking at the energies, the chi that's running through the body. So
right.
It's just the Western society is, we're basically, that's why, I mean, when Plato was trying to figure, when Plato's forefather was trying to figure out how to milk the cow in the East, they were already looking at energy systems of the body and everything else. I mean, the East was so far ahead, but a lot of our ethnocentric Western mentality, we only look in the West as being the starting of civilization, like Egypt started. Yet, you know, it's not actually, that's not actually true either. But one other aspect I wanted to ask you is, you mentioned what I thought was really important is, and this, I have clients that all the time, and I'm always telling them to get grounded these days because they're actually stretching. It's actually like men tend to be more grounded. They need to get more spiritual. And I'm not saying, I'm saying this in a broad stroke, not massage. I'm just saying a tendency just because people, when they choose a body, there's no sexual thing when you're a soul. There's nothing like that. But when you choose that, you bring your attached experiences with you. So by doing so, women tend to be more able to go toward a more spiritual, they connect more, so they get less they have more pause being grounded. But now I see more generally, not just men, and it's both men and women getting grounded. And I was curious what your advice, because I've always kept on telling people to keep doing things physically, doing yoga or something like that to keep themselves grounded. What do you suggest in being grounded?
You're right, and it is interesting. I find that when I look to see who's buying my book, like who contacts me with the book, before it, you know, my first book was mostly women. This book, it looks like it's pretty much almost evened out. There's more men, because, and even the men that I talk to, they're more interested in their spirituality now, sans the religious dogma. But to stay grounded, it's really important, because we are pulling in more light, and it has a tendency sometimes we could short circuit and feel discombobulated and think that we can't get a grip on time because our relationship with time is also changing. I really recommend, like you said, yoga. I love yoga. I do yoga myself because it helps you center yourself. It really does. It lets you really feel like you're, you know, connecting more with your physical and your spiritual. I also recommend, for grounding, I also like gardening. You know, I mean, sometimes if you live in a part of the country where it's not possible to do that, even if you just have a little planter of dirt, because just being around the earth itself has a very grounding type of an energy. And also, vibrationally, you can eat more root vegetables, which will automatically help the body reset itself and it to almost have the right vibration to stay more grounded. Potatoes, any type of root vegetable is also good for that.
Yeah, that being by, I didn't even think about it. I was going to also mention, I saw in your book that I thought was really detailed really well, was helping your chakras depending on the foods you eat, because you are what you eat. So I thought that was pretty good the way you line that out. Almost like, I would say the pyramid method, but you did lay out, okay, if you eat this, this is more for your root chakra, that you eat that. Another thing, like you just mentioned the root stuff. You mentioned different foods and different elements for each of your chakras, and I thought that was pretty interesting how you explained that. I thought it was pretty in-depth. Another thing you brought up that I thought was pretty interesting, and actually it's sort of funny because this is actually sort of, it's, and you're right about the 5D world. Actually, it's funny you said that, because in Kabbalism, they said Asiya is called five, it's word at five ways of looking. Because we have five senses, we sense our things in five ways, and so we assume by our own eyes that's what the reality is, but of course we know that's not. But then interesting, you said, you mentioned time and space being non-linear, which is circular, which actually was known, I mean, since Einstein explained that, and it was even experimentally determined that his relativity theory was correct, that time and space are one and the same, which everybody knows the thing about the, you can easily do this thing, it's called the moving, if you have, a baseball player who's throwing a ball and you measure the light, it goes from one end to the other. Now you put the same person on a moving track, you measure, and it actually increases, still the ball's going the same thing, showing that time and space are really one and the same dimension. It's amazing, after 90 years, people don't perceive time and space as being the same thing. And they're still looking at time linear, and in reality it's curved or circular. So it's interesting that if this is what you're saying, that people are slowly I think it's what you're saying is people are getting closer to the realities of our infinite universe, which is how our dimensions really work and how they are, as opposed to what the assumed perceptions are, educated, and that's also going to change how they look at things. So, because there's another thing you brought in your book, which we'll get into, about the idea of separation too. But how do you feel people that you've come in hand dealing with that frustration of, because our society runs on linear time and then there's space, which is actually an oxymoron, doesn't make sense. Now, how do you deal with that with in relation to, it's like in your book you talk about it, but it doesn't go into how you deal with people to get to the realization of it.
That's right, and especially a lot of people are experiencing what I call fast time. You no sooner get up, it feels like it's time to go to bed, or, you know, here it is, it's August, when it seems like it was just yesterday that it was, you know, the holidays in December. So that's because everything, our perception is speeding up. We're moving faster, our energy's up. So what it is, we start to realize that three-dimensional, consciousness really does have the limits of hours, minutes, seconds, and we've been told to experience things like that. Everything is about limits and separateness. We separate the past from the present, from the future. We separate the day into seconds, minutes, and hours, and everything is separate. But as we evolve and we go into this, I also call like the fast lane of the cosmos, where Earth is right now, like we've just shifted. We're out of the slow lane. We're in the fast lane right now. There isn't that separateness between, you know, time and space. And we're finding out there isn't any separateness between our spiritual self and our physical self. We are one and the same. What we are spiritually is basically, when you see it physically, it's just, you know, what we hold in the vibrational body is going to materialize physically. So we're starting to see like, okay, you know, it's a little hard because we've been taught, like you said, that, you know, there's time, there's space. But in the space-time paradigm, which is the currently accepted model of worldview, in which space, time, and matter constitute the primary or separate aspects of reality, if you want to just stay in that limited way of thinking, you can never really accept consciousness, because consciousness really is everywhere. It's not in the past. It's not in the present. It is everywhere. And that's how come people who think we've called them past life experiences, but we're finding out as we evolve, they're parallel lives, because the consciousness, imagine, it's like if you spill a glass of water, I mean, it doesn't just stay in one spot, it spreads out. Well, this is your consciousness. It's very fluid, and it moves, and it's very electromagnetic, and it's not limited into just staying into one space. It's crazy, but it's the new concept that we have to really start to look at, too. Even our physics are going to be quantum physics.
Well, it's funny you said that, because it's like the Bruce Lee, he said, we're like, we are water. There's another thing, people mostly, and I think hopefully they'll start getting it. I think they are. It's heading that direction one way or the other. Getting to the understanding how, most people look at things as nouns, and in reality, things are actually verbs, and including ourselves. Everything's consistent movement. So, like, for example, they create this idea, which is, I don't know why, and it bugs the hell out of me when I hear people use it. Oh, there's duality. We're looking at duality. We are living in, like, duality. Or I hear even people of Eastern thought, oh, they're thinking duality, when actually everything's symbiotic. They'll even separate heaven from earth. That's actually illogical. I mean, heaven is here and earth is here. It's one and the same.
Right.
And they're also, in the universe, there's no such thing as nouns. It's really, it's all verb. Everything's action and movement. Like you're talking, what's water? It's actually moving, consistently adapting. So in reality, heaven and earth are one and the same. There are no such thing borders that you go from one place to another. It's like a gradient of places, is areas of space. It's sort of like gradients, if you want to call. but there's no defined line. It's just like, you know, and everything, interestingly, when you put patterns of frequency, which we're getting back to, I know if you look in I Ching and Kabbalah, which are like literally identical numerical systems, and then the Hopi use the same number systems. I think there's others that use identical numeric. And it, what it is looking at everything as energy as being a frequency. So what's a frequency? It has a vibration. And what's a vibration? A tone. And that's where you have the numerical situation that occurs, how they apply it. So I often tell my clients, this is, and it's, I get really simplistic because everybody makes things so complicated. I said, look, you're nothing but energy that has a frequency that's vibrating. You're like in music, like let's say an A sharp, and you're at a particular octave. And when you do, what the change is, you're just moving up in a, as an octave. You're moving up or down. And then when you meet people and you're correspondent, depending where your octave is, if you're in harmony with the person, is because you both are in the same octave. When somebody is bringing you down, and let's say codependent or an unhealthy relationship, not just another loved ones, that's because you are two different octaves. Your energy that's frequency. Well, the same thing our earth is changing in frequency. So people have to either adapt, be the, like they say, be at a better one, adapt to where your place is, adapt to the changing frequency that's forcing us to change or something else is going to happen. So that's why I feel like when I read your book, it was like talking about the same things with different wording, but pretty much it's basically the same thing that I've often, you know, and that's why I thought this was a really good book for people who from A to Z to get into that. One thing I was going to ask you, you talk about the changing energy affecting our chakras.
Right. What a lot of people aren't even aware what a chakra is, because they don't teach that in school. You have to take yoga or something to find out what it is. But I feel that we're, you know, they're going to have to start telling people, because these indigo kids and the crystals coming about now, they know. The chakras are certain, let's say, energy vortexes on your body. The way your car would have spark plugs.
Hello?
Certain, for example, let's say your root chakra located at the base of your spine. It's where you find your grounding, but also your chakras will correspond to your psychic senses. These are your extrasensory senses, or these are the way the physical body has senses. Your spiritual body has senses. Well, the root chakra, for example, is where we have our psychic sense of smell. Now, a lot of people don't know what that is, and they may have experienced it but not have had the awareness of what it was. Like sometimes I know myself, I had an experience one time. I was around someone and I kept on smelling like some type, it smelled like dry clay, and there was no dry clay in the room, but I'm trying to figure out, and what I determined from what I was picking up, I was actually smelling a sickness that they had that I was not aware of at the time, until they told me a few weeks later that they had a pretty bad condition. So, you know, I was psychically tuning into the vibration of their illness. And I agree with what you said. Everything is about vibration. The heart chakra right now, everyone can find that on their body. That's expanding, because these higher vibrations are much finer frequency, and it's encouraging us to be, you know, less judgmental and, you know, be more like accepting of people. So this chakra is expanding to let in more light. So we can feel that. Some people are getting the ascension headaches because we're, you know, our pineal gland is opening up. That's our third eye, which at one time was the size of a lemon, but it's atrophied down to the size of a pea because we stopped using it. And so we actually have a built-in psychic sensing system, but it has just been ignored for years. Or maybe, you know what, we weren't ready to really experience it. At this juncture of our evolution, I think this is it, because we are going from Homo sapien to Homo sentient. We are going from the logical man to the conscious man.
That's interesting you said that, because I think that's definitely a course where we're heading to in general aspects. But let me ask you this, because I agree with you that it's affecting all the chakras and stuff. Actually, there's an interesting thing. I don't know if you ever heard of Bashar, but he had once said that he talks about the clicks per second, and this gets into perception. And then there's so many, there's like billion upon billions of clicks per second. And but our own eyes and things, depending on our frequency, we can deal with them. Even the average person, like when I take clicks, it's like if you look at a movie frame, most people see a movie frame within about 30 frames per second. That's why they make little frames, you know, in the
right.
movie. So actually, an average person will see 30 or perceive 30. A genius would do 100. Yes, yet there are billion upon billions, and this is a fact, of clicks of frames per second coming into where we're actually perceiving our eyes, but we're not dealing with, and it's because of our frequency. As our frequency increases, therefore we can match up and see and actually perceive things, and that's what changes. But there, let me get into an area of choice, because everything's free will. And this is what I have a question, because everything's always called kumbaya, everybody's going to move up. Yeah, we're all one consciousness, but as a conscious spins faster, like when I say, like, if we're increasing, the earth is increasing its speed and its frequency, then as one conscious, almost like a ball, the top part of the ball is going to feel it a lot, so will the bottom part, and the middle not as much. As it starts transcending, furthering up, the upper adapts faster and is less affected to the higher frequency. And then also I tell them it's the pendulum effect that we're heading actually in 2012, is when, you know, when you change a direction, because we're supposed to be heading into more positive as opposed to negative.
Mm-hmm.
So when a pendulum changes the direction, it shortens its movements really quick, short, and then it goes the other direction, right?
Right.
And the same thing is happening with on Earth. But the problem is those who still choose not to adapt, not to retain on holding onto a lower frequency, what will happen to those? The people who still want to believe in separation of and live by and by, well, let me put it, not just live by, they're afraid to embrace the reality of the universe, of how things really are. I want to live on a 5D world. How do you think, what's going to happen with that?
It's like, you're right. It's not everyone is going to evolve at the same level. Some people will make the choice not to evolve at all. So imagine if you're living in a community with all the modern amenities, computers, cars, anything at your disposal, but yet you have that one neighbor who chooses to live like in a very, very basic home without electricity, without the modern conveniences, their life will seem a little bit harder. And, you know, they're just not going to feel like they can ever, they're so far down, how are they ever going to catch up? They're still attached to their old ways and their old beliefs, but that's okay, because we're not going to judge anybody who doesn't want to do that, because maybe it's just something in them. This is going to be survival of the consciously fittest, you know. But I do feel, though, you know, Carl Jung was always about the collective unconscious, but now we are coming into the collective conscious, because we're finding out that there is an intelligent field of energy that connects us to everyone and everything. We're strung together like Christmas lights. So eventually, as they all light up, we can only hope that the people that are at the bottom rung may eventually say, hey, you know, there's enough of this great vibration around that I want to bring myself up. And you're right about when you say it's all about our perception. Also, even when I do sessions with people, like readings, sometimes it's frustrating to deal with a client who wants one definitive answer, because I'm trying to get people away from, don't attach yourself to only one outcome. You have to be open to any possibility, you
right.
know, and it's hard for people who are used to getting their usual, you know, astrology reading, tarot reading, or psychic reading, to kind of move into that new consciousness. It's not about telling you what to do and what's going to happen. It's about telling you, you have choices, use your creative abilities and create what you want to happen. Because
right.
we're not disempowering anybody. We're empowering you by telling you, you have the ability to change things that you don't like in your life. And I think even light workers, psychics, mediums, and people who work in the metaphysical community also are going to be playing a different role as we evolve, because we're going to be seen more as, I think, teachers or guides instead of just, your entertainment.
Gee, that's already happening. I'm like their doctor, lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Psychologist, and sexologist.
Mm-hmm.
But I had what you're saying, what I usually do, and this is my way of doing it, but when I have clients that are like that, because I've had a few, I constantly reinforce the don't live in the fishbowl. So I says, yeah, if this is how you're living in your fishbowl, but if you step out and you see the outside of the fishbowl, you know, you're only looking at it from a limited aspect. There might be a reason. Maybe some circumstance happened negative, and then you're forced to go live in a certain place, and then you end up meeting somebody that you're supposed to meet in the first place. So it depends. Everybody has their own things, but there's certain things meant. Everything, the universe is perfect. So we often think that there's something bad. Like, this is where I get in issues with actually pretty much arguments about compassion. And I keep on telling people compassion is actually not, we're supposed to look at people having suffering, because suffering is actually, it's just a perception, really, in reality.
Right.
The whole point of us to have a compassion is a vehicle to get to the reality that we're all connected. It's just a mechanism. When you love somebody, you feel the connection of the person. That's why everybody loved each other, they'd realize how they're all connected, how they're not separated.
Well, you know what? That's why I like, even like when you mentioned the Kabbalah a few times, it's like, it's about being proactive and not being reactive. It's just like, you know, you don't want to react to somebody's bad behavior or circumstance. It's like, you want to be more proactive, where like, help somebody get with the program, and
right,
don't judge anybody.
Right. You're not supposed to judge. And you're just helping, here's a door, and they have to make the choice. But if you get all upset about it, then guess what? You're putting your alter ego into it.
Mm-hmm.
To that choice, which now you've created your own thing. So you have to let people have free will, and that's their free will, and just let it go. It's hard sometimes, but sometimes that's the way it is. But the other aspect is, I see the issues of when people come looking at things in terms of separation, that's when the biggest problem is. Everybody looks like what we see that everything's separated. That's the problem. And they don't realize how everything's all connected. Like the consciousness, the universe is like forcing us to get to reality of the universe. Like what you're talking about is forcing us to heading toward, and this is what I call the awakening process. Awakening is not awake, I know about the certain aspect. No, awakening is consistently learning your true self, which is really learning how we are as to the universe. That's the process. So when you're talking within Kabbalism, that's basically it, but it's also learning what they call the cause and effect. And yes, there is cause and effect in this world. That's how we learn to grow, because if there was nothing to some extent, we would. That's why we're in these bodies. That's why you have to relish the physical thing, because then we learn the two sides go, they're like sort of hand in hand in a way.
Right.
But it gets us to realizations. But what people need to learn, and this is said through Kabbalism and Buddhism and Taoism, it's the same thing. It's ironic, and Sufi Islam says the same thing. You have to get in a cause and effect situation. Like, you become aware, you get, well, if I do this, this is going to cause this. If I do this, it's going to cause this. If people get into that thinking of that, that's the purpose of karma, or in Hebrew they call it tikkun, fixing things, is to get into that mentality. Then they're going to, what they do is they actually, they proactively increase their frequency. And we're right now getting the non-proactives, is like what you're talking about, like in our shift in our earth. The universe is now forcing us, and you just can't sit on the couch, because it's forcing
us
to make the choice to increase our frequency. Because if you decide, oh, I don't want to do that, then it's like what you said, really, that was a really good way you put it. It's like, you know, you're going to find yourself where, well, you don't need gasoline. You can use electromagnetic energy, or I'm on a Mac Pro, which that's a billion kilobytes or whatever. And you're still on that, you know, the green screen of 1980s or 80s. So there's like, they're going to get so out of tune of things. I've a lot of people like this. I have issues with people talking about the New World Order and them and this and them. I said, that's the same mentality. I know people personally who are involved with stuff. And I tell you, it's really bizarre is watching these people in very high places, actually, who are sort of negative. And I know some people personally, and they're like, they switched, they changed. And I don't name names because it would be uncool, but I know I've seen even movies being made that no way, no how this person would make a movie like that. Avatar, okay?
Right.
That's a perfect example of that kind of thing, that a switch. And I think, you know, that gives, I guess, I'm more of a, not a pessimist, more of an optimist, that our changing energy is affecting. And I'm hoping that sort of like I always said, like in the Middle East, for example, people ask me about women. And I think women, they asked me, how come? And I was in a class, actually. It was all women who really were teaching it. And they asked me, how come I think it's so important with changing in the Middle East women and raising their frequency, and which is their self-worth, and changing humanity? And he says, think about it. Who holds the baby for 9 months? And there's by the way, 9 is a very heavy number because in Kabbalism it means creating, manifestation. Here you are holding a baby for 9 months, and your consciousness, if your consciousness is having a high self-esteem, that energy is affecting the baby's soul in there before it's went for 9 months. And then when it comes out, what is it? Now, if you're constantly being hit on the head, telling you you're no good, you're less than a man, you're less, you're no good, blah, 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 what do you think is going to happen with the kid when he comes out? He's going to feel that same lower vibrational energy. So that's why I say that if everything changes, this is truth, by the woman, not of the woman in the West, by the way, I think it's in the Middle East, because that would really change. Look like in Iran, it was the women of Iran who were rising up. Those things, when those
that's
are...
Right.
That's when the whole... I'm telling you, if the Middle East, when the women have reconnect to their self-worth, it'd be a totally different world. Just think about it. If even in the United States, where right now there's a tug-of-war politically over attacking, I guess, the women's rights and stuff like that, that's because we're pushing, heading to the right direction. It's, you know, for every action, there's a reaction, and we're moving in the right direction because everything's forcing it. And people are still holding on to that old negative views, and it doesn't matter. It's still trudging along. It's still trudging along. I mean, look at back in the day when people you're talking to the internet, because I look at Indo kids and stuff. I think it's just we just reincarnate, and I think new souls as they come in, it's old souls re-emerging from past. They've learned their lessons, so they have a higher frequency. I see it in my granddaughter. I'm like shocked when she paints like a Monet. So that's happening right now, and people now are not. They didn't. They're like. I mean, look at 20 years ago. People about same-sex marriage. You know, now generations, new generations, who cares? Go to the older generations. They were the ones who make the big deal of it. You know, and that's why I think it's changing. What you're saying.
Well, you know what? Our frequencies are integrating more. I mean, the left brain, the right brain. So you figure like, and we're integrating more of the our electromagnetic body into the physical body. So we're not seeing these as two separate things. Like one goes to religion and one goes to science. We're starting to see like, oh no, you know, everything's becoming more integrated. And with the women, you feel that's, you know, that like right brain, more intuitive, creative energy. It's, you know, it needs to find that balance with the left brain, more aggressive, you know, masculine, logical way. So it's the conscious and the logical are finally, you know, finding a more refined frequency. And you're right, we can have that separateness. It's really not good, and it just lowers the vibration all the way around. Then everybody else has to work harder to pull it back up.
And it is, you know what, you just made a really interesting story. If you look, I look on my show, I've had doing the show for about 7 years, and for some reason I've had more scientists in the last 2 years coming on my show. I mean, I had one guy who was one of the guys who were involved with smashing the Atom, you know, in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about dreams and stuff like that. And I had another one, a famous professor, talking about, you know, the merging of esoterics with sciences now. And then I had another one getting even further with the mathematics and how they're trying to now realize that the old shamanic way of looking things was actually right. You know, it's really science and spiritual consciousness are merging, which
right.
is like, which is amazing, because that's why I think in the future, and this sounds sort of Star Trek-y, but in the future, I mean, just think about it. You know, it's like that, I think it was a Star Trek episode when the guy's on this kidney machine, he's in the past, and goes, what the hell, barbaric system? And he goes, gives him a little zzz with his little wand, and the guy's healed from his kidney infection or kidney disease. You know, because we're changing the way, hopefully our medicine merges into that and changes it. And I think it is, one way or another, it's basically the universe is forcing us to head into that direction. There was one thing I know, because I wanted to get into, I know we talked about the physical changes due to the frequencies, and our senses are increasing, but what you elaborated, which I know you do, but big section in your book, because it's like your book tells what's going, but it also gives you people who, even if they don't know anything about spirituality, which I liked in this, it gives it from a very very simple way of looking at how to, in fact, increase your frequency. But once you have your frequencies increasing, how would you maintain that frequency?
Yeah, exactly. That's what, you know, once you have the frequency up there, what you want to do is, a lot of it is, you know, like your thoughts. You can have negative thoughts or positive thoughts. So, of course, not every day you're going to be happy, but the more you know to stay in that now moment, like right now is what's important. It's not what happened yesterday or what you're thinking about may happen tomorrow. Right now, because where you are right now is actually what's going to just like mushroom out over and start to create that existence that you want. So try to stay in that now moment to keep your frequency good. Also, you know, like we said before, what you eat, your food has frequency, your relationships with other people. If you're around somebody and you find that this person constantly dumps on you or drains you and you just, when you leave their company, you don't feel well, you just feel exhausted, you know, maybe it's time to just detach a little bit until like they either get their frequency up or you're strong enough that you could be around them. You have to be very aware of the energy of your environment. I mean, even if you want to go feng shui your house because you need to have the energy flowing through, anything that works, because depending on where you're at in your own development as you go through this transition, you'll find what works best for you. You know, some people may find that it's changing their diet. Others may find that, hey, it's changing their job. You know, get away from that job that's very limited. Because, you know, we've been living in such a scientific mentality for way too long where this formula works and these are the results you get. But when you move into the world of consciousness, there is no controlled formula because it is open to all possibilities. And that's how come psychics can't duplicate something. You know, you could tell somebody to make a prediction. Maybe they could do it on Wednesday, but Thursday they can't because the energy has changed. You know, so we have to get used to working with frequency and being aware of energy and also pay attention to, you know, how you feel when you're going certain places or even in certain rooms of your house. Start to get used to feeling that energy. And it's exciting because it's opening up a whole new frontier for you to explore too.
Now, one last thing, because we got 5 minutes, but I want to get into and everybody probably thought, God, I would really get into this stuff because I'm Mr. Ant about organized religions and social changes. Let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen, in your view, in your perspective, in the near future, within whatever time period, it's going to happen with organized religions and then also with ETs in the future and social and political and technical change we already talked about, but basically religious and political and social change and, of course, ETs.
Well, especially with the organized religions, they've been pretty oppressive because they're telling you you only have, there's only my God's better than yours, there's only one way to worship, and you must do this, you must do that. There's all these rules and all these restrictions. We don't need this, like, organized thing where, like, if you're not this religion, then you're the bad person. We're moving away from this religion more to spirituality. And like I said, I went all through Catholic grade school, high school, and I can see how, you know, the fall of the Catholic Church. People have pulled away from that faith because they are starting to realize past the structure that what should maybe be a pure belief in God, you know, became, like, about money in inner politics. And whenever there's a big rise in power, there's always room for a lot of corruption. Same thing with our politics and our government. You know, we look at these candidates now and we just see, are they sincere or did they just have a really good speechwriter? We are starting to feel their energy. We look at them and we know, like, they're either for us or against us. And, you know, we're more perceptive. And thank God for the internet, because it helps people even connect more so we can share our views. And that's what's, I think, instigating a lot of the social changes. We're like, hey, you know what? We don't like it either. And the person over there doesn't like it. We're not viewing each other as the enemy anymore. We're like, let's stand together, because, hey, if we're going to be socialized into the other galactic communities, because we know there are other galactic communities out there. We are not the only terrestrial planet out there. And I, for one, feel we had some alien intervention in our genetic makeup, but we better stick together, because maybe that's the one world order, like, where we stick together as the community of planet Earth, you know, so we can be, you know, socialized within these other realms.
Well, I hear you. Our biggest problem is within, especially organized religions, is, and I'm also including Hinduism as well, and a lot of them, they, is that the separation of God from a person, like, oh, there's God and there's you. And then that starts this first thought, and everybody, this is where it's actually the wrong, even in, if they says what it says, hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. I mean, it doesn't mean, actually literally doesn't even say that. It says the Lord our one, but it says Biyachad in Hebrew, means to be one with God. It never says one God is being separate. It's one with God. The whole point is for the soul to realize how we're all just one. That's God.
So exactly.
But when they do, God is separate from you, separate from nature, they start already, and then, oh, by the way, they need somebody to explain that to you, so that's another separate person. They want you. That's illogical. And I wrote this actually in the thing, and I got a huge response. I put this on Facebook. And I says, why is it that humanity lives in the illusion that we are separated? Perhaps it's the illusion, the lie, that God and the universe are separated from us. And on, I go on. And then I basically say, well, if humanity lived by unity, then compassion wouldn't need to be applied. It would be the given. So, I mean, that's where I see an organized religion. And yes, you're exactly right. But I mean, I remember being in the Middle East and being in Lebanon and seeing rockets flying over, whether it's a Christian village, a Shiite or Sunni, and they're all fighting each other because of, you know, you're the other guy, you're the other religion, my God's better than your God. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
well, you know what? While we're fighting over whose God is better, the big politicos are plotting their next move to control our economy. So it's, a lot of it's been a distraction, and we've been under this, you know, veil, so to speak. You know, and apocalypse actually means lifting of the veil reveal.
Right, exactly. And I think here's the irony is, well, one day was Israelis, now a Palestinian. What was a Palestinian Israeli? Because people don't realize if you have all that karma, you become the other person. So they're just back and forth, back and forth. Back. It's the tiger becoming the zebra, and back and forth. It goes on until it's finally the karma settled. So it's like people look at, oh, you're only this person. But you know what? You may have been another person. This is what's, you know, when people come to reality that we've had more than one life and we've been different bodies and experience, different things, then you realize you weren't just a Christian or a black person or a Jew or Arab or a Muslim or Asian or whatever. You've experienced them all, you know, so you can't say when you come to the reality, then you go, oh, wait a second, we're all the same. We're just experiencing different things. We are extremely unique. We all have that's why I always say, like, we are definitely very, very we have our special views, but we have come to the reality that we're really one consciousness. We're like little snowflakes all snapped together.
Yeah, so, I agree with you 100%.
So, in summation, how would somebody be able to get hold of you, and also how would you be able to get your book?
My book is available if you go to www.newpagebooks.com. Yeah, you will see different buying options. The book's available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and if you'd like to support your favorite indie bookstore, you can get it there. And my website is www.lisaberetta.com.
And everyone, I highly, in fact, after I read this, all my friends, everyone wants to get this book. They see me when I was walking for like a week and a half reading your book. Definitely have to get this. Everybody knows that I'm really skeptical and really, I only let certain people on my show. I'm very limited, but I think that's really truth. And this is definitely on target, as they say, spot on, as they say in Australia and in England. Definitely get her book. Fascinating. It's actually very explicit, has a lot of information. It is very to the truth and to the point. And I want to thank you, Lisa, for coming on the show. And God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.